Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text number 29. Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bano.
Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bano.
Nirvanatmans Tvayoditaha.
Nirvanatmans Tvayoditaha.
Kidrishak Kati Changani.
Kidrishak Kati Changani.
Yatas Tattva Bhavoranam.
Yatas Tattva Bhavoranam.
Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bhano.
Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bhano.
Nirvanatmam Svayodita.
Nirvanatmam Svayodita.
Kidrishak Kati Changani.
Kidrishak Kati Changani.
Yatas Tattva Bhavoranam.
Yatas Tattva Bhavoranam.
Yoga.
Yoga.
Mystic Yoga Process.
Mystic Yoga Process.
Bhagavat Banaha.
Bhagavat Banaha.
Aiming at the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Aiming at the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Nirvana Atman.
Nirvana Atman.
O embodiment of Nirvana.
O embodiment of Nirvana.
Tvaya.
Tvaya.
By you.
By you.
Uditaha.
Uditaha.
Explained.
Explained.
Kidrishaha.
Kidrishaha.
Of what nature?
Of what nature?
Kati.
Kati.
How many?
How many?
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Angani.
Angani.
Branches.
Branches.
Yataha.
Yataha.
By which?
By which?
Tattva.
Tattva.
Of the truth.
Of the truth.
Avabodhana.
Avabodhana.
Understanding.
Understanding.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mystic yoga system, as you have explained, aims at the personality, supreme personality of Godhead, that is meant for completely ending material existence. Please let me know the nature of that yoga system. How many ways are there by which one can understand in truth that sublime yoga? Purport. There are different kinds of mystic yoga systems aiming for different phases of the absolute truth. The Jnana Yoga system aims at the impersonal Brahman effulgence. And the Hatha Yoga system aims at the localized personal aspect, the Paramatma feature of the absolute truth. Whereas Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, which is executed in 9 different ways, headed by hearing and chanting, aims at complete realization of the Supreme Lord. There are different methods of self-realization. But here Devahuti especially refers to the Bhakti Yoga system, which has already been primarily explained by the Lord. The different parts of the Bhakti Yoga system are hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping the Lord in the temple, accepting service to Him, carrying out His orders, making friendship with Him, and ultimately surrendering everything for the service of the Lord. The word Nirvana, Atman, is very significant in this verse. Unless one accepts the process of devotional service, one cannot end the continuation of material existence. As far as jnanis are concerned, they are interested in jnana yoga. That even if one elevates oneself, after a great performance of austerity, to the Brahman effulgence, there is a chance of falling down again to the material world. Therefore, Jnana Yoga does not actually end material existence. Similarly, regarding the Hatha Yoga system, which aims at the localized aspect of the Lord, Paramatma, it has been experienced that many yogis, such as Vishvamrita, fall down. But bhakti yogis, once approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never come back to this material world, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Yad gatva nanivartante. Upon going, one never comes back. Chokdva deham punar janmanaiti. After giving up this body, he never comes back again to accept a material body. Nirvana does not finish the existence of the soul. The soul is ever existing. Therefore, Nirvana means to end one's material existence. And to end material existence means to go back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes it is asked how the living entity falls down from the spiritual world to the material world. Here is the answer. Unless one is elevated to the Vaikuntha planets, directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is prone to fall down, either from the impersonal Brahman realization or from an ecstatic trance of meditation. Another word in this verse, Bhagavad Banaha, is very significant. Banaha means arrow. The bhakti yoga system is just like an arrow aiming up at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The bhakti yoga system never urges one toward the impersonal Brahman effulgence or to the point of Paramatma realization. This bana or arrow is so sharp and swift that it goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, penetrating the regions of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. So, the hearer, Mother Devahuti, who's going on, too much, you're making too much noise out there. Mother Devahuti is showing that she already has caught the gist, the essence of all knowledge. She understands that the success of her life can be achieved by this process of devotional service. That what is required, what is lacking in our life, is that we've forgotten that we are eternal servants of the Personality of Godhead. We have forgotten that the real purpose of our life is to serve God in ecstatic love. And therefore we're suffering. So Devahuti understands this. She's already practically achieved her perfection because she has this understanding. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan man prapadyate, Krishna says in the Gita. It's only after many millions of lifetimes that a wise person finally comes to the realization that Vasudeva, the Personality of Godhead, is everything. And therefore everything should be given to him. Everything we do should be for his pleasure. Devahuti, simple woman, but she has already realized this culmination of philosophical realization. Krishna is everything. Our lives should be completely for Krishna. She knows that. So she is perfect already. All she's asking now for is the details. This process, yoga, this discipline that you have already told me about, please tell me, Kidrisha, specifically, what does it actually involve? Kati Changani, how many different activities are there in this devotional process? What specifically can a devotee do to practice loving service of the Lord? So this means that she has graduated beyond the theoretical stage of spiritual education. This is called, in the Vedanta terminology, it is called sambandhangyan. Understanding your relationship with God. Understanding that you have a relationship with God and that that relationship is important. As Krishna also says in the Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidyahivisidaye. It's only one out of many thousands of human beings who has any interest in spiritual perfection. First of all, most creatures, most living beings are not even human beings. The human population on the earth, in the universe, is a small, small fraction of the total population. Even in this room, the room seems to be filled with human beings because we're ignoring the rest of the population. How many microbes, microscopic one-celled creatures, are living on the tip of my finger? How many mosquitoes are hiding in the corner? And so many other creatures are here, and we're a small minority. And only the human beings have the capacity for serious spiritual inquiry. The animals, all they know is how to eat, how to sleep, how to have sex, how to survive. They don't have intelligence for higher investigation. Human beings do. They have the potential. But as Krishna says in the Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu, out of many thousands of human beings, it's rare to find one who has an interest in spiritual life, who's not satisfied to live like an animal, just to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Rare to find a human being who has a higher interest in that. And of many of those thousands, one out of the thousands of those few human beings who even want to achieve something higher, know how to do it, have a clear idea of what to do. So first of all, there should be a theoretical understanding that we are all eternal servants of Krishna, or whatever you want to call God. Give a name to it, Brahman, God, whatever you want to call it, the Absolute. But we are the eternal servants of the Supreme. That is our theoretical understanding, sambandhagyan. When you have at least that much to go by, then you should be seriously inquiring, how do I cultivate my relationship with the Supreme? What practically can I do? In my present condition, which is limited, and I have limited powers, I cannot focus my attention, I have distractions and other obligations, so what practically can I do to revive my relationship with the Supreme? This is the inquiry into the second stage of Vedantic education. Abhideya. The practical process of cultivation. Yoga. Yoga means discipline. Practical activities for learning how to recover our lost love of God. This Devahuti is inquiring into. She's a very rare soul to even be able to ask this question. It's proof of how exceptional she is. And we're very fortunate if we can take seriously this question. We may not be the ones who ask the question, but at least we can
participate as the audience and get the same benefit. We should also be very seriously interested in this inquiry. We should want to know what practically can I do? I know theoretically that I'm Krishna's servant. Maybe I'm hearing it every day. I'm reading or I'm listening to Bhagavatam classes, and every day I'm hearing, I'm Krishna's servant. I'm chanting Krishna's names, I'm chanting my japa. But I'm still wondering, what practically can I do for Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada is so merciful that he's established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that the maximum number of people can be engaged in the purest possible kind of devotional service to Krishna. Prabhupada has given us so many clear indications of what practically we can do that will actually be on the platform of pure devotional service to Krishna. Prabhupada established preaching programs, first of all. First business of this society is to distribute Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, again, we have to use a word borrowed from Christianity, preaching. You know, the minister stands in the pulpit and delivers his sermon to the congregation, preaching. Or going out as a missionary to the barbarians and trying to convert them to your religion. That's also preaching. So we don't have a better word for it in English. You know, dharma prachar is what you would call it in Sanskrit. Spreading, or disseminating knowledge of spiritual life. It's really a matter of education. It's not some mundane form of advertisement or propaganda. This is enlightenment. To give enlightenment, to light up the torchlight of knowledge, Jnana Deepa, within the heart. By giving the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam to those who need it, and that's everybody. So that's the first purpose Prabhupada created ISKCON for. He did the preaching himself. He picked up a few followers who then became his disciples. And what did he do with them? Cleaned them up, put tilak on them, the dhotis and saris, and sent them back out the door almost immediately to go preach. They were brand new people, just off the street. And he was sending them out to different parts of the country, and then sending them across the ocean to England, to Germany, to establish Krishna consciousness. First business that Prabhupada had ISKCON active in was just preaching and establishing centers for the worship of Krishna, for the education of young devotees in Krishna consciousness, our temples, ashrams, and so many programs for spreading Krishna consciousness. It gives us an opportunity, so many opportunities, to find something to do practically for Krishna. Devahuti is asking her son, okay, I hear from you that I and everyone else are supposed to be engaged in Krishna's service. Now, my dear son, then tell me, please, what practically can I do? So we already have this question answered for us. If we should try to participate in the programs that Srila Prabhupada established, ISKCON around. Distribution of transcendental literature, distribution of Krishna's prasadam, and distribution, however we can, of this divine knowledge. That's what the world needs. We want to do some good. If we have some inkling of the mode of goodness, we should want to do some good for other people. But we may have a mundane idea of what that good can be. Build a hospital, be a teacher and teach people how to read and write, or whatever. We may have an idea. But real welfare work of a substantial value is to give people what they're really lacking. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would make the point that there's only one thing missing in the world, and that is God consciousness. Everything else there's enough of. If there seems to be a lack, it's because of the root problem of lack of God consciousness. Because people are not Krishna conscious, therefore they're greedy, they're envious. And therefore, people who have more than they need are taking even more and withholding it from people who don't have. You know, the greedy and the rich, rich and greedy, are hoarding the assets of the world, and the people are starving. But a starvation is not natural. That imbalance is not natural. It's only because of lack of spiritual enlightenment. Because of degraded consciousness, with a lack of Krishna consciousness. So not only individually are we in need of this enlightenment, but the whole world needs it. And the mass of the world may be in ignorance. They don't know what's good for them and what they need. But the few people who are enlightened should take up this mission, should understand that this is what is actually required for the world. We want to do some good. We've got some spark of sattva guna in our hearts. This is how to do good. You know, to spread Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then as established by Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, there's other kinds of approaches to the Supreme, different yoga systems. Yo-yoga, this is one yoga, there are other yogas also. There is the yoga of meditation, there is the yoga of cultivation of theoretical knowledge, and others also. But their aims are not are not absolute. And what they can practically accomplish is limited. As Prabhupada says in the purport, the Jnana Yoga system aims at the impersonal Brahman effulgence. And the Hatha Yoga system aims at the localized personal aspect, the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. So these are also features of the Supreme. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatva yajnana madvayam Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdiyate. Those who know the Absolute Truth, they sometimes describe it in different terms. There are basically three different ways you can look at the Absolute Truth. It's the same Supreme Truth, but you may understand it and name it either as Brahman, impersonal, or Paramatma, the super soul in the heart, or Bhagavan, the Supreme Person, with all his personality and his personal activities and his devotees and associates. They're all three authentic, valid ways of looking at the Supreme. But the impersonal realization and the localized realization, who's simply sitting in the heart and not doing anything but witnessing, these are incomplete understandings of the Supreme. The complete understanding is only Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. And the yogas that aim at the impersonal or the localized features also cannot achieve complete satisfaction for anybody. By Jnana Yoga, you can realize that you're pure spirit. But you can't act on the level of pure spirit. You can only take up an impassive role. You can become a spark of effulgence in the spiritual sky. But you cannot enter into the ecstatic, loving pastimes of the personality of Godhead. Nor can you, by practicing meditative yoga, to realize the Supersoul achieve this. Those who worship impersonal Brahman, those who worship the Paramatma only, they go to the realms of Brahman, of Brahman, of Paramatma. They can't go to the supreme abode of Krishna. Only the greatest souls, those who are supremely wise, have their eyes set on that supreme abode. Om Tad Vishno Paramam Param Sada Pashyanti Surayaha. The great Vedic rishis, Suris, who have the highest vision, rishis like Vyas, Narada, Shukadev, they have their eyes set on the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, Vaikuntha. They're not satisfied with merging into the impersonal existence of the Brahma Jyoti, or simply identifying themselves with the super soul. The super soul is Satchit Ananda, I am also Satchit Ananda, Soham Asmi, Tatvamasi, you are that. They're not satisfied with such superficial identification, that I am also the Supreme. Well, I'm not. I'm just a small spark of the Supreme, and I'm actually meant to be his servant. I am his servant. Anyway, Devahuti already realizes this. She's addressing her son as Nirvan Atman. Nirvana is the favorite term, especially of the Buddhists and the other impersonalists. It means cessation. Or actually, literally, it means extinguishing. Va, the verb va means to blow like the wind. When you blow something out, that's nirvana. Like you extinguish a fire by blowing on it. That's what we call nirvana, extinction. So the impersonalist, their idea is that perfection of life is to become extinguished, to lose your personal identity altogether. But that misinterpretation is corrected by Srila Prabhupada here. He explains that it really means nirvana should properly be understood as not cessation of all existence or all personal existence, but the stopping of your material life. Spiritual life will go on. The soul is eternal. It cannot be destroyed. But you can destroy your material misconceptions and your material activities, purify yourself, and enter into pure spiritual life. That's real nirvana. And the fact that she's using this term not to address the formless supreme beyond everything, but she's talking face to face to her son, who she gave birth to, and addressing him as Nirvana Atman, O soul of Nirvana. So this shows, the way she's using the word, that she also understands, as we're supposed to understand, that the real extinction we're looking for is the extinction of illusion, and replacing it with our real understanding in our real life. Okay, so I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Regarding this, we have seen from here that everybody says Bhakti Yoga is the greatest, not to follow.
Yes.
And also in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, I gave this knowledge to Vivaswan so many millions of years back.
Yes.
But we find that in the Satyuga, the meditative process was given more importance than the Bhakti Yoga. And they were told to go and meditate on the self and realize it, either to reach process of bhakti or to, you know, realize yourself with the...
No, but see, what Shukadeva was talking about in that and other in a few places where he discusses that there are different methods in the different ages. But these are all being described by Shukadeva as methods of Bhakti Yoga. That we practice Bhakti Yoga basically primarily in the form of Nam Sankirtan in the Kali Yuga, chanting the names of God and the glories of God. In the previous age, in the Dwarpa Yuga, the same process of Bhakti Yoga was based on worship of the deity in the temple, Pancharatrika process. In the Treta Yuga, people were performing elaborate fire sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices, but as a method of Bhakti Yoga. And in Satya Yuga, going all the way back to the first age, people practice meditation as the practical cultivation of Bhakti Yoga. It was a method for developing devotion. And that's what meditation should be. And in the Satya Yuga, when people were smart enough not to become deluded, when they understood the real purpose of meditation, they used it as a method for becoming pure devotees. So it's not the difference, it's not opposed or in place of devotional service. It was a means of developing devotional service, just like chanting Krishna's names is a means for us nowadays. But that was for Satya Yuga, for the first age.
So there are two basically processes in meditation also. Either to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of, there is a Bhakti Yoga process,
yes,
or to misidentify yourself with the Supreme Lord in the heart.
Yes.
So that is one deviation and one...
You can say there are three. Meditation can be done personally or half personally, like super soul realization, mm-hmm, or completely impersonally, as some people try. The Buddhists and others try to do completely impersonal meditation, just to stop the mind altogether and have no object of thought. That's one way to try to meditate. Very difficult, but you can try it. So there's at least three, and then different mixed methods in between. So there's many different ways of meditating, many different aims.
Just one last question to you. But once you have realized, they say through this Hatha Yoga process, that the super soul,
yeah,
it is said then that person automatically reaches up to the platform of Bhakti Yoga if he does not identify himself to be that person within. He immediately reaches that platform.
I don't know if it happens automatically. It won't happen automatically. Just by realizing Paramatma. You see Paramatma.
That's true.
And you avoid misidentifying that you think, well, you've seen yourself. You understand it's not you. Still, you won't get pure devotion unless you get the mercy of pure devotees, their association and their blessings. Otherwise, even Paramatma realization won't go further to the absolute perfection of pure devotion. You have to get the association and the blessings of pure devotees to get pure devotion.
So they usually say that once you realize that, then the Lord Paramatma himself arranges for that situation. Usually,
yes, but you have to take advantage of it.
Okay.
Opportunities will come, but you can miss them. You can pass them by.
Okay.
Yeah, so people can get stuck even after going up to Paramatma realization. They could get stuck and not go further, or get in further re-entangled.
Okay.
No guarantee. It's not automatic.
Yes. Chapter Krishna says klesho dikadarastesham avyaktasattajit.
Yes.
So does that refer to, does it show the difficulty in impersonal realization or the Mayavad concept?
Especially the Mayavad concept and in general any kind or degree of impersonalism. The more impersonal your approach is, the more difficult it will be. It's by degrees.
Mm-hmm.
The Mayavadis are, you know, the Mayavadis following Shankaracharya, they're the heaviest impersonalists. The Buddhists are close second. But there's other, you know, mixed forms of impersonalism.
Like the four Kumaras, how initially they were impersonal.
Yeah.
They were attached to the Brahman.
Well, this they were what are called Brahmavadis. They were not envious against God. But they were not fully realized. They just never put two together and understood that the Absolute Truth is that personality of God. But eventually they did get the point. So Brahmavadis, who are just naive about the ultimate identity of the Supreme, the personal identity, and are still attached to some impersonal concept, if they're not envious, they can be corrected by association with devotees. So the Kumaras, they associated with devotees and with Lord Narayan himself. And they became perfect devotees themselves. and they establish their own Vaishnava Sampradaya, and those who follow them can also become pure devotees. So they're former impersonalists, so was Shukadeva.
Mm-hmm.
They're not impersonalists anymore. But there are different kinds and different degrees of seriousness of impersonalism. And the more impersonal you are, the more envious of God you are, the more difficult it's going to be for you to actually become liberated.
So the meditation that you mentioned on the impersonal form is still bona fide, right?
It's authorized.
It's authorized.
Not recommended by such great authorities as Narada, mm-hmm. Shukadeva, Vyasa. They don't recommend it. You can also find in the Vedic system, in the Vedic texts, prescription how to perform shena sacrifice, eagle sacrifice, for destroying an enemy, avichara. So the sacrifice is described. You do this ritual, you can destroy an enemy. You know, he'll be just like voodoo. He'll be ruined or killed just by performing a sacrifice. So it's authorized. It's authentic. It's in the Vedas. But it's not recommended. The Vedanta Sutra explains these tamasic things are described because people are going to do them anyway. People are going to go out and destroy their enemies. People are going to indulge in illicit sex, in intoxication, in meat eating. So the Vedas give ritual means to purify your propensities, like sex within marriage, meat eating in a very restricted way in the context of sacrifice, even drinking of liquor in the context of a certain sacrifice. Restricted, not for the sake of encouraging these things, encouraging sex, meat eating, intoxication, but to regulate them. It's like a government may license liquor shops, not to encourage intoxication, but to regulate it and restrict it. So also, impersonalism may be taught in the Vedas, but to keep it under control, not to encourage it.
But as we think, the Mayavad school is completely unauthorized. Can we say that?
No, I can't say that because the Shankara school, the famous Advaitavad school of Adi Shankara, was founded by incarnation of Lord Mahadev, who was ordered by Krishna to do that, to teach it. How can you say it's not authorized? Krishna ordered Shankaracharya to teach what he taught. But what he taught, we have to reject. We worship Shankaracharya as the incarnation of Lord Shiva, but we don't accept his philosophy. Because he was ordered by Krishna to teach a nonsense philosophy. And Krishna himself, Vishnu himself, appeared as Lord Buddha to teach a similar form of impersonalism. So we worship him as Vishnu, as God, but we also don't accept his philosophy.
So, I mean, but the teachings are also authorized? I mean, would you treat them as authorized?
No, we wouldn't say, no.
They're not authorized?
They're intentionally deceptive. How can you know? They're authorized, but they're
okay.
Authorized nonsense. Yeah. So not recommended for those who want to receive the actual truth to listen to these philosophies. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his followers, Mayavad Bash Shunile Hoi Sarvanash. If you listen faithfully to the Mayavad philosophy, the Advaitavad, then that will ruin your spiritual life completely.
Mm-hmm.
You'll become poisoned. So, not recommended. In a sense, authentic, because it's spoken by a representative of God, but it's spoken in order to delude the atheists. Potassium cyanide is available in the chemist's shop. It's an authentic chemical, but it's not recommended to drink it. Yeah. It has its purposes. It's used, in dyeing cloth, or some has some industrial purpose, potassium cyanide. It's authentic, but I wouldn't ingest it. So the Mayava has a purpose, to keep the atheists under control, but it's poison. Don't listen to it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so stop here.
Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.